In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One of the things we're about as human beings, one of the things that shapes us, forms us, is story. We think of our lives, for instance, we think of our experience, our memories, and what we tend to do is extract, refine, distill all of that into a narrative, a coherent narrative. That's important. A story of who we are. More than anything else, how we think of ourselves, approach ourselves, feel about ourselves has a lot to do with whatever story we're telling ourselves about ourselves. And we're doing it all the time. And it's not a fixed story. The details change. How we tell it changes. Experiences change. Memories come and go, some of them assuming more weight than others. And even though it may seem like we're telling one story, one coherent story, that story includes, encompasses multiple narratives, multiple stories, stories about our ancestors that become part of us, stories of the places of or cultures we come from that are a part of us, sometimes stories that others have told us about ourselves, whether they intended to or not, and that we take on board as our own for good or ill, and we start telling a slightly different version of our story. We make it our own. A good word of praise, of kindness, of gratitude can do wonders to positively shape or inform our story. Sometimes our experience of a circumstance, joyful or doleful, it doesn't matter. Sometimes it affects our story or how we tell our story, and our story changes and we change with it. We change and our story changes. Now, of course, the story we tell isn't really us. It's an imperfect reflection of us. We're the storyteller. The story is an image, consciously or unconsciously honed, crafted, more or less asymptotically seeking to answer the question, who am I? Still, our story will always be far more coherent than we often feel we actually are, will always be smaller than we actually are. However fond we are of it, it will never really be, will never truly correspond to who we really are. Nonetheless, the story we tell ourselves, the story we believe ourselves, is incredibly powerful and incredibly tender and precious. We entrust our story to so many people, and not everyone will return it to us intact or tell it the way we intend. Still, it's one thing for another person to tell our story and get it wrong. It's another thing, and often catastrophically disastrous, for someone to tell our story, get it wrong, only for us to start telling their wrong story, only for us to become that wrong story. Story is powerful and precious. Now, we don't know the story the Ephesians were telling themselves about themselves. We know very little of the context to which Paul was writing. But this much seems clear, given what we read from Ephesians earlier this evening. It looks like they were in danger of telling the wrong story. Now, from a cosmic perspective, humanity has been telling the wrong story about itself for a very long time. We don't need each other. We don't need God. We can invent ourselves from ourselves and for ourselves. We can be like God by going our own way, doing our own thing. We can be good on our own terms. We can shape the world into our own image. We can smash it and build up heaven on earth by destroying inconvenient creation. We can be most fully who we are by putting others down or destroying them. We have no responsibilities, only desires needing fulfillment, only wills needing to dominate. This is the story we've been telling ourselves about ourselves, but it's not entirely a story we've invented. This is the story whispered into the ears of our first parents. It is the serpentine vision of us. It is the death vision of us. It is sin's vision of us. And we took it on board, and we started telling it too, with disastrous consequences. It is the wrong story. It does not tell us true. But for so long, it's been the only story we've known. We've forgotten any other. More than anything, this shows we don't actually invent any of our stories. Not really. We cobble them together from what we receive from others, from our experience. If we're to truly remember ourselves, if we're to truly know ourselves, it's important to discern from whom we receive our story. Important to discern who remembers us truly. And this is Paul's concern here for the Ephesians, Paul's concern for us too. The Ephesians are in danger of forgetting their true story. So he reminds them, they will only know who they truly are. We will only know who we truly are in the light of the resurrection knowledge of Jesus Christ. We will only know ourselves when we know ourselves in Jesus, the one who took on our humanity in order to gift us his divinity, the one who trampled down death by death and rose from the dead, having, as St. John Chrysostom affirms, destroyed death and hell, for when it took a body, it met God face to face. When it took earth, it encountered heaven. When it took that which was seen, it fell upon the unseen and was abolished. We will only know ourselves when we know ourselves in Jesus, who in his ascension seated our humanity, our human body, on the very throne of grace, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. We will only know ourselves when we know ourselves in Jesus. And then we will know ourselves even as we are fully known. The German mystic Meister Eckhart, in his sermon on spiritual poverty, wants to disabuse us of the notion that we possess, what we cling to, what fills us up. It's just simply material, physical stuff. He says, even someone who gives away all that they have, if they're proud of their action, they are rich in pride and therefore cannot be said to be spiritually poor. If someone has little or nothing and resents it, they are rich in desire and consequently not at all spiritually poor. The one who is spiritually poor, Eckhart says, will have nothing at all. By which he means, in part, not even a story to tell of who they are. And the upshot of this for Eckhart is, God himself will be their story. God himself will tell God's own story in them. God himself will speak them true by speaking his word in them. God will remember them to themselves by unfolding in them his knowledge of them. Whatever our memories, thoughts, experiences, history, past, present, future, it cannot truly tell our story until all of it illuminated by God, all of it redeemed by God, all of it held by God, remembered by God, compassionated by God. God, our lives become the vocabulary through which God's story is told in us. And we discover, we know the key, the fundamental feature of our story. We are deeply beloved. I don't know what story you tell yourself about yourself, but I know one way or another we all tend to tell the wrong story. Some of us may cling to an overestimation of ourselves. Some of us may cling to a story of ourselves as a failure, as unworthy, unlovable, or powerless. Why tell those stories? Because in truth, there is only one story of us that is always already true, always already truly us. And the one who tells it is Jesus. And the story is Jesus. And if the church is truly the body of Christ, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, then we have got to tell that story. We have got to have that story tell us. And it's not enough to cling to that story or possess it. We must consent to be it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.